أهل جبار شرحوا من علمهم حكمك.
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته and welcome to Ulama Pro Fans this Thursday evening with myself Ubaidullah Boja, the 4th of February. Every so often you do an Ulama profile and you think and you sit down and you ponder. Sometimes you tear as well and you wonder that, you know, it's not just an alim that you are profiling. It's not just an individual that served the deen that you are profiling. It's a friend that you knew. It's somebody that you interacted with. It's somebody that was there in a very near past that you actually find it difficult to express the fact that certain person has passed on and certain person is now in a different world, in a different condition, in a state that you and I perhaps are not also aware of. And it's important for each one of us that we understand and we realize the people that we are profiling and the importance that it gives in our day-to-day life. We are speaking tonight about Hazrat Maulana Ibrahim Lambatap Rahmatullahi Alayhi. And Hazrat Maulana Ibrahim Lambat was one of those people that I knew very well. And I will give you, inshallah, my interactions with him. We have on the line, and it's an open line, the entire program. So if you wish, you can give us a call. The number is 011-854-1548. And if you will do so, inshallah, we will take your call. Alternatively, you could WhatsApp me or you could send me a message. The number is 071-878-9748. We have the first call on the line, Maulana Muhammad Lammat. Maulana, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. How are you, Maulana?
Alhamdulillah. Maulana, from the bottom of my heart, I would like to just say to yourself and the people of Palm Ridge, really, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give you a ni'mah al-badal. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give you someone in replacement, because definitely we have lost a great alim in the place of Palm Ridge.
Definitely, as Maulana.
Maulana, you knew Maulana for a very long time. You were childhood friends. What was Maulana like as a friend to you?
Maulana, what can we say about Hazrat Maulana Ibrahim Sahib, rahmatullah alayh? If we want to know about his life, then obviously we can just see the way Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala took him away from this world. Like the Arabic saying goes very well. I don't know if it's a hadith of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but we all know the saying very well, where it is mentioned that tamutun kama tuhyun, that the way you die, that is how you have lived. And definitely, Maulana, there's so much to mention about Maulana as a childhood friend and in different aspects of my life and in Maulana's life, where we were together in different fields, bring different things together. But Maulana, all I can say is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant Maulana maghfirat, inshallah. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant him Jannatul Firdaus and grant his family sabr and jamil.
Amen. Maulana, tell me, what were his qualities like as a person who you knew informally from his childhood, and obviously now as Maulana had interacted with him in terms of a colleague in the same area?
Maulana is a childhood friend. And knowing Maulana from a very, very young age, alhamdulillah, I was really, really blessed. And today I can say it with pride also, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed me to be associated with Hazrat Maulana, especially after seeing the type of mawdi that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed him with. And being there also at the time when Maulana passed away, I was there with the doctor. Straight after Jummah Salah, when you went there, and the doctor had to confirm that they
have. While we are on that topic, and we normally do that at the ending, you want to just run through us how what happened is Maulana left this temporary world?
Maulana, what actually happened is, before Jummah, when I came home, I had some work in the morning, and I was a bit late for Jummah on that particular day. And when I came home, my wife actually told me, you know what, make special dua for when you're going for Jummah Salah now. Make special dua for Maulana Ibrahim Sahib, because Maulana's wife, Maulana's family just phoned now to say that Maulana was taken to the doctor earlier in the morning and Maulana is not feeling well. So what happened, I went for Jummah Salah, and while being there for Salah, I remember we just read the farz of Jummah, and I was in the last rakat or the four rakat sunnah after the Jummah Salah, and I was sitting in the tashahud, and it just so happened a very young a young child came and whispered in my ears while I was in Salah. He's a child that's in grade 2 or grade 3 in our madrasa. And he whispered in my ears and he said, Molana, please go. Molana, your wife is calling you. You need to go home. At that time, I thought maybe my son was not well or something. So I managed to read the first durood and I made salam and I rushed home. When I came home, the wife told me to go back to the masjid and try and get the doctor that is here in the area and go to Molana Ibrahim's house because the upper phone now and Molana is not well. So immediately I went back to the masjid and I got the doctor out. And when we entered, the paramedics were already there at Molana's house. We entered the room and the paramedics said, you know what, we cannot find anything, but we need to confirm with our seniors. And after a few minutes, while the doctor was trying to find Molana's pulse, we realized that Allah Ta'ala had taken him in his rahmat, Allah Ta'ala had taken him in his mercy already. So that is how Molana actually left this temporary world, Molana.
Molana, Jazakallah, your final thoughts before we ask you to leave, Molana?
See, Molana, some of the qualities of Molana Ibrahim, one thing I can say, Molana, even as a young boy, I found some very, very ajeeb and very strange qualities of Molana Ibrahim. One was that Molana was very conscious of being neat and tidy. This was now from a very, very young age, Molana, we are talking about. Always very conscious of being neat and tidy and always making sure that things are put on its place. I think many women will be jumping at the thought of what I'm mentioning now. And this was throughout Molana's life. That every time, whenever you went to his house also, Molana made sure that everything must be on its place. And Molana was very neat and tidy. Molana, when we were in our youth class, I'm talking of that time, we must have been about 10, 11 years old.
Yeah.
In Germiston. And I can recall, and I hope there are some of our satis, some of our colleagues that are listening to this, and they will vouch for this also. That normally when we take out our jerseys, for example, when you're sitting in a youth class, you're feeling what, you take out your jersey, and we'll just fold it how we want to and put it next to the desk. But Molana, from a very young age, Molana would take it out in a very special way and fold it in a special way. Just like how when you go to the shopping centers, you go into a shop, and you want to buy a particular jersey and how it is folded on the shelf. That is how Molana would fold his jersey. I'm talking about at the age of 10 and 11.
Allah.
That is how Molana was. And also at the same time, like for example, if he wanted to go to the toilet, he will take out his pen, he will take out whatever he had. If he had sweets, there was also another ajib quality of Molana. That every time Molana had something in his pocket, and not just for himself, but to offer everybody else. There was either sweets in his pocket, there was a particular chewing gum, I'm not going to mention the name of it, because maybe brothers might start phoning around to check whether it was halal at that time or not. But anyway, Molana had this particular chewing gum in his pocket all the time, a packet of chewing gum. And every time, whenever Molana used to meet us, he used to take out that and he used to offer it to us. And then also Molana, another beautiful energy quality of Molana was that, and up till today, Molana had, whenever he received something, whenever he received a gift or anything from anybody, Molana would label that item.
Love.
You will label that item with a person's name on it and the date, and you will put the Islamic date and the English date. And I just confirmed with his son now at Isha Salah, even when he bought something, I remember, whenever Molana bought something, he would label it, where he bought it, and also the date that he purchased it. The Islamic date and the English date also. And another ajib quality of Molana was, Allah Ta'ala instilled this in our hearts, his firm yaqeen in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Allah.
His firm yaqeen in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this Molana, you know, Molana had this in him, that whenever he was faced up with any type of difficulty, Molana had a particular way of saying it. And I'm going to mention it today. Molana would say, Wallahi al-Azim, I don't fikr for anything. This was Molana's words. I don't fikr for anything. I put my full yaqeen in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. My Allah will sort this problem out. Every time, and Molana, I'm talking from a very young age, this is how Molana used to speak. This is the type of yaqeen that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Molana had in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And there's one thing which everybody noticed about Molana was his strict adherence to sunnah of Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Molana, again, from a very young age, trouser above the ankles. Wallah, at that age of 10 and 11, I remember when we used to go and play soccer also, or go and play cricket during the weekend. Molana, even if he had a tracksuit trouser, his trouser was above his ankles. from that very young age. And right up to now, Molana, I remember after Molana came back from his 1 year Jamaat, after he completed his Alim course, when Molana came back, there was, this was about 22, 23 years ago, there wasn't a day when you spotted Molana where he didn't have a turban on his head.
Allahu Akbar.
And from a very young age, I can't recall a day where Molana did not have surma in his eyes. The miswak was always with him. He always used the miswak. Ittar was always in his pocket. He had a lot of love for Ittar. And whenever he met somebody, Molana, for years, like I said, he will take out his sweets and he will offer it to you, or he'll take out chewing gum and offer it to you. And even an Ittar, he will take out Ittar and rub on your hands.
That
was Molana. And then also another beautiful quality of Molana was his daily du'as. He was very pardon on the daily du'as. Molana, I recall when we were still in the Darul Ulum, and when we used to come home for the holidays or maybe during the weekend, and maybe we had to go out with our friends and family. Maybe to go and play soccer for an outing, whatever it was. I remember Molana teaching us du'as from the time we left Palm Ridge until the time we went. Either he's teaching us maybe something that he learned during the madrasa days regarding some tafsir, some ayat of the Quran, or some hadith of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But du'as, Molana used to teach us. Traveling du'as, all different types of du'as. And there were times when Molana wasn't with us. It became a habit amongst us as families and friends that used to travel together, that used to move together. Even when Molana wasn't with us, there was always somebody doing what Molana used to do. They do not, the guy started, now let us read our traveling dua. So Molana, alhamdulillah, Molana also taught us that. And another deep quality of Molana was his love for Quran.
Allahu Akbar.
Molana had love for Quran, wallah, even the love for his students. Molana taught his for many, many years, and he passed away now also teaching his. And Molana, he always had fikr for Quran and how Quran was being read. He was very, very particular about tajweed. I remember recently when Sheikh Naina was here, and I was traveling with Molana, we went to Boswan together.
Mm.
And as we were going, Molana is talking about the common mistakes that he picks up with imams, or you know, when people are reading Taraweeh. The common mistakes that they are making, he always told Molana, we need to do something about it. The people are reading these words wrong. We have to sort this thing out. So Molana, those are some of the Ajib qualities that Molana had.
Molana, Jazakallah so much for your time. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it easy for yourself and the people of the area as well, inshallah.
Molana, make dua that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we make dua that Allah grant us all that type
Ameen.
Of God.
Ameen.
And also another thing, Molana, to end off, Molana was a mujahid.
Definitely, Molana. If anyone knew one thing that
Molana was a mujahid. I'm talking of in madrasa days also. He always told us this, that his body that Allah ta'ala gave you is an amanat. And I know Molana used to work us out with his exercises on a daily basis in the Darul Ulum. But it was always, after we trained, Molana always said that, make dua that Allah Ta'ala, Allah Ta'ala takes my life while I'm in a battlefield.
Allah.
Allah Ta'ala must take me in such a way where my body must be cut to pieces. This was his tamanna, this was his desire, this was his wish, that Allah Ta'ala must take him in a battlefield. But what a mortal Allah Ta'ala had given him.
Ameen, ameen.
He made dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah Ta'ala grant us all a mort with iman also. On the day of Jumu'ah also, Allah subhanahu
ameen,
wa ta'ala
ameen.
Accept all our efforts also, inshallah.
Jazakallah, Mawlana.
Mawlana, Jazakallah for giving us this opportunity also.
Ameen, inshallah.
Regarding Mawlana Ibrahim.
We have quite a few messages coming in. Salams, Mawlana Ibrahim Lambat was a great luminary. He had profound love for the Quran. He always advised to increase tilawat. I spent a lot of time with Molana as a young child until Molana's very last moment. My father loved him tremendously, and I was actually named after him. A few notable qualities of Molana was he was extremely kind, generous, and he had lots of love for his family and children. May Allah grant Molana maghfirat, fill him with qabr with nur, and grant Molana the highest stages in Jannatul Firdaus. Ameen. Another message coming on from Sister Rehana. Sister Rehana said, Assalamu alaikum. Molana, I have a 9-year-old son who was a student of Molana. I just want to say that Molana wasn't just their ustad, but their friend. He was their confidant and they could talk to him about anything. He always spoke to them about life as a Muslim. He didn't just teach hifz, he taught life. He used to have kids over to his house all the time for a braai and to swim. He leaves a massive hole in our school, in our life. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant Marana Jannatul Firdaus. Ameen. We have another alim on the line, one of the colleagues of Marana teaching currently, Marana Junaid. Marana, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Alaykum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Marana, you are one of those people that perhaps will actually feel the loss of Marana Ibrahim Lamban. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it such that you have a suitable replacement to fill the gap that Marana had left for you.
Inshallah. It will be difficult, but inshallah.
I make it easy. Definitely. Some things are just not replaceable, Marana.
Yes,
Marana, your thoughts about of somebody you knew very well, both in terms of the Khanqa line and in terms of the madrasa, and your thoughts with our listeners this evening.
As far as an ustad goes, Maulana was very dedicated, like the previous caller, like Maulana Saab has mentioned, the person sending a message, he loved the Quran a lot. He made tremendous sacrifice for the Quran, and he was, when we were looking for an ustad, and I approached him, he was so happy. I told him, Maulana, but how will you manage from Palm Ridge to come all the way till Crosby? He said, Maulana, you make sacrifice for the Quran, Allah SWT will open up all the ways for you.
Allah.
All the doors will open up for you, you just got to make the sacrifice for the Quran. And that's also what he taught to the children as well, that you make sacrifice for the Quran. Even if it's a little while every day, Allah SWT will open up everything for you, will make your studying easy for you in every other aspect of your life as well.
SubhanAllah.
As far as his dedication to the Quran goes, he never used to stay absent. No matter rain or shine, he used to be there every day.
Allahu Akbar.
He traveled all the way from Palm Ridge regularly. I should tell him, Moana, how you manage? He used to sometimes reach home 9-10 o'clock at night. Just because he used to be working and looking after children, he never left till the last child left. And also, every Saturday he used to come 6 o'clock in the morning for his class.
6 o'clock on a Saturday, Moana?
6 o'clock to 9 o'clock. He said, Moana, after Fajr we can come nice, and Alhamdulillah he used to come regularly. As far as his children goes, quickly just a few points, because
Maulana
Lambat has spoken and mentioned so many things which we also wanted to say. We also witnessed the same things in Maulana Sahab, so I don't repeat certain things. As far as the children goes, the children in his class goes, if anybody was absent, he used to phone the parents, ask them what is happening, why is they not coming. It was a travel issue. He used to phone around and try and do something to get them back to the madrasa. And also he taught them with love, like the parents sent him there, that he wasn't their ustad, he was a friend. I was amazed that we also teach the same children, but they don't have the same connection with us.
Gee.
They used to go to him, they used to speak to him nicely, he used to speak to the parents. He had a good relationship and taluk with the children as well as with the parents. Parents used to come and tell me that Maulana Sahab, the nasihat he gives them is so valuable. They sit and try and speak to the children, but when Maulana speaks to them, it makes such a big difference. And as far as furthermore with regard to teaching the children, he taught them adab for the Quran, respect for the Quran and everything related to the Quran and Kareem. Whenever something children in the class, they disrespect the Quran sometimes without realizing what they are doing. So Maulana, to teach them a lesson, he used to make them give sadaqah. How did he give sadaqah? He used to tell them to buy sweets for the rest of the class. He used to have like a register of who owes how much sweets, and had to buy and give to the rest of the class sadaqah in that way. Also, he used to give nasihat, like I mentioned, regularly, stories of the Akabirin. One parent mentioned to me that when he taught them year before last, he spoke to them about death. They were speaking about death, and he spoke to them about the passing away of Hazrat Mawlana Qasim Ali Rahmatullah Alayh. How he passed away, and he told him, make this dua that you can also leave this world in this way.
Allah.
And Alhamdulillah, Allah took him away in the same way, because he had that desire. And also, I'm just going through a few points that I made here.
No problem.
The other thing is that one alim also mentioned to me, you know, I think back on Maulana's life, and I can't remember him ever getting cross. No matter how much we interfere with him, because he was so lovable and so friendly with us, we used to sometimes joke as friends. He never used to get upset, never used to get cross. And whenever you have a problem, you tell him, Maulana, I have this problem. He was always ready to do whatever he can to help you.
Right.
You could phone him anytime and tell him, Maulana, we have this issue. He was ready to come. Maulana, I have this problem. Maulana, I need assistance here. He was always ready. He was the one person you can always turn to, you'll know he'll be there for you. We are friends also for some time, and also he was teaching there with us. We were colleagues also. But the amount of adab he showed to me, we don't even deserve that. I mean, for somebody who's surpassed us with regard to Quran Kareem, what akhlaq, what adab, what knowledge, what ilm, in every respect, he used to walk past the classroom, my shoes are outside, he should always put it straight. Without even mentioning, he used to bend down, put it straight, and carry on walking, even in passing by, without even flinching one. But the moment I see my shoes, I know Maulana was here.
Allahu Akbar.
That's how he was. And always he used to tell me, Maulana, tell me what I'm doing wrong. Maulana, tell me what I'm doing wrong, why, so I can make my islah. He kept on telling me this all the time. I said, Maulana, if there's anything we're friends, I can tell you. But he used to always keep on asking me, no, don't have to be shy. I won't get cross. Tell me what is wrong. Now my son also just told me that he was friends with my son as well. So he used to tell my son, tell me what your Abba tells you about me. What he speaks in the house about me, so I may know what to fix up in my life. So, but alhamdulillah, Maulana was not just an ustad in our madrasa. He was also a friend, he was also a confidant. We used to make mashwira all the time as well. We're going to really miss him.
Definitely, I think the ummah is going to miss him, Maulana, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant Maulana the highest stages in Jannah al Firdaus, inshallah.
Amen.
JazakAllah for your time this evening, Maulana.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
As a student of Marhum Maulana Ibrahim, I can say that Maulana was a very strict ustad. However, he also was a friend. If at any point I, as an old student of his, has a problem, no matter what time, Maulana would help. I know many people of whom Maulana helped with regards to social issues, family issues, or even marriages. Maulana was a guide no matter the issue. Indeed, Maulana will greatly be missed, most definitely. We are discussing, we are profiling, we are speaking about the life of Maulana Ibrahim Lambatab Rahmatullahi Alayh. I'm going to ask the listeners, if you can, give us a call. The number is 011-854-1548. Alternatively, you can send me a message or a WhatsApp. The number is 071-878-9748. 071-878-9748. We have online with us a student of Maulana, Maulana Ridwan Ravat. Maulana, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Walaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh to Maulana and all the listeners of Radio Islam.
JazakAllah for joining us, Maulana. You knew Maulana for a very, very long time, perhaps the better part of your life as a student and as you grow up and you qualified. What are your interactions that you had with Maulana Ibrahim, sir?
Gee, Maulana, it's been a great... Firstly, thank you to the radio station for allowing me the opportunity. It was a great blessing on my side and Allah Ta'ala's favor that Allah Ta'ala allowed for us to stay in the company of these noble friends of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Maulana Junaid has covered up a lot of aspects. If I can just perhaps add in examples from a practical aspect, you know.
Ji.
Maulana spoke about Maulana Ibrahim Rahmatullah Alayhi's dedication and commitment. At some point while we were doing heaves, and I don't have the exact dates and years, but Maulana had taken ill and he was suffering from some stomach ailments. I remember very clearly in that time, and we were very much younger, we were school-going children at the time, when Maulana had regained a little strength,
right,
and he would call us for heaves to his house and he listened to our work from his bed.
Allahu Akbar.
So in that condition, and then as the time went by, progressively he gained a little more strength, and then we moved into the lounge until eventually he could come back to the madrasa. But I clearly remember him listening to us from the bed in that pain, but because he had just a little strength and he was now in a position to listen, even under those circumstances and those conditions, he was ready and he availed himself.
Allahu Akbar.
And without a doubt, Maulana had tremendous respect for Quran Kareem. To such an extent, he was so particular, we used to have a shelf in which we used to put our Qurans. All of us had to put our Quran straight, and with that, Maulana had covers made for us. You know, if there are any other Hif students listening, they'll remember this. He may had black covers made for us with our names on it. He said the Quran will look neater and more appealing when it is put in the shelf systematically.
Subhanallah.
His love for Quran and his respect for Quran, and he was extremely particular when it came to the recitation of Quran Kareem. You know, when we did Hifz, the system was fantastic to such an extent that whenever we came to a ruku, then we had to pause and we had to say, that this is, for example, the first ruku of the surah. It has so many ayat. To that extent, he made us learn our work, and after every para, we had to go for exams. He was extremely particular. Extremely. He had great love for Quran. He sacrificed for Quran, and his respect for Quran was there. As Maulana mentioned, he was ready to help and assist at any time. Any time you needed his assistance, comfortably you knew that you could call Maulana. I remember very well there was a student who had an altercation at that time with his father. There was a disagreement regarding something. Comfortably he came to Maulana. Imagine, he's leaving his father and coming to Maulana. He's saying, Maulana, I got a problem, I need you to help me. And it was at night, and Maulana sacrificed, and he went out, and the matter was resolved. Never was it spoken about, never did he even hint at him, that you had this problem and I helped you. Whatever he did only for the pleasure of Allah Ta'ala. Maulana had learned from a particular alim, there was an amal he used to do, he used to recite certain ayat of the Quran al-Kareem, through the barakah of which Allah Ta'ala would cure somebody who was suffering from a headache. And we've seen it in the HIFS class, many people would come to him and request, come with headaches and migraines, sometimes randomly outside the masjid, speaking about the masjid, another habit of Maulana. Perhaps it changed later in life and due to circumstances also, but then it was Maulana's habit to walk from his house to the masjid, which was quite a distance. Maulana had a vehicle, but he opted to practice on this sunnah of walking to the masjid, and generally it would be a norm that he would walk to the masjid and back. But along the way, if somebody met him, somebody needed anything, like I said, he could do this. People met him, they said, we got a headache. People would phone him. He would avail himself at any moment, and never did he take money from anybody. We were there when at times people offered to give him some monetary return for the service that he had offered, and Maulana would gently, politely reject it and say, this is not what I want. Whatever, and from here you gauge his sincerity also. Whatever he done only for the pleasure of Allah Ta'ala. Another very important aspect that, and another point that I personally learned from the life of Maulana, unfortunately maybe not applied it, but Maulana was extremely particular about whatever he done. So for those who knew him, his dressing was always neat, his system, his ways at home also. You could ask him for anything and he would pinpoint it immediately. Many a times we were in class and students gave him gifts, and I remember clearly whenever he would receive a book for an example, then immediately he would make a note in the book that received as a gift from so and so on this day, on this time, and it would be shelved appropriately in the bookshelf. Maulana was very meticulous, very, very neat when it came to his personal self, when it came to his surroundings, when it came to his management of time. Like Maulana Junaid mentioned, he would always be on time, to the extent of 6 o'clock on a Saturday morning. But this was just Maulana. He was extremely particular about how he carried himself out. And from here, he was also very, very particular about following the sunnah way of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. At that time it was a rare, but it was known among our friends as well, that if you want to identify a Hibs boy in school, then you'll identify him because his trousers are above his ankles. Maulana would emphasize the point for himself personally, it was at any given moment, and he would put and instill these teachings, like Maulana mentioned, on a regular basis, advising the students, speaking about the Akabirin. Maulana, after having graduated, spent 1 year in Jamaat. He was very, very passionate about the effort of Tabligh as well. At that time when we were in his class, we used to have classes from Maghrib to Isha. The days they were, the Gersh Bayan would take place in the masjid, or if there was a visiting Jamaat and they had a program in the masjid, it was rule, and we knew it well, that you will not leave until you remain in the program. When the program is completed, then only you will leave. All of this was because he always seen to the well-being of the learner. At that time in Palmeri's Masjid on a Thursday, Hakim Sahib Hafiji used to have a Durood program. And in there he used to read Siratul Mustafa, so he used to cover bits and pieces of Sirah as well, try and do different aspects from the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That also compulsory, we had to sit for that. We had to sit, and all of it Maulana used to tell us, it is for your own good. another striking quality, and Maulana would openly speak about it in his bayans as well, was his humility. He never ever referred to himself as anybody. He never ever mentioned he could do certain things. Although Maulana was very skilled and talented, in terms of his physical fitness, Maulana was also very, very clued up in, with, as far as electronics and gadgets and computers are concerned. But he would never openly show it. And he would over and over refer to himself as a nothing, refer to himself as a mere slave and a servant. And this humility showed off in the way that he addressed other people, junior or senior. Like Maulana said, he would walk past and straighten the shoes. That was the habit. If the students went into the classroom and they mistakenly left their shoes outside, he would take the shoe and put it on the shoe rack. Now, this will only come when a person thinks of himself to be nothing. So he never found it beyond him to do anything. This was his extreme humility. I remember traveling with Maulana. There was an istima in Dandi, perhaps in 97, 98. We had traveled together. When we were in a classroom, it was a classroom environment. When we were out of the classroom, he was a different person. He was somebody you could confide in, somebody you could ask for assistance, somebody you could ask for help. And another beautiful point, and this is a great lesson, especially in today's time, Maulana had a very balanced temperament. So when it came to the effort of Dawood and Tabligh, he was in the forefront. Maulana had spent 1 year in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, subsequently been in different programs as far as Dawood and Tabligh is concerned. When it comes to the aspect of Islah and Tasawwuf, then Maulana was a murid of Maulana Zulfiqar Sahib, Daman Barakatuhum. When it came to the aspect of teaching, Maulana remained teaching right up to the final days. So from here we learn that he had a very, very balanced approach. And wherever there was an opportunity to do dini khidmat, Maulana would avail himself. In whichever fraternity, whichever way, whichever aspect, any time there was an opportunity to gain the reward of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Maulana would avail himself. Another point, I don't know if it was mentioned previously, that Maulana, it was in that time, undertook the journey of Hajj. And perhaps there was a financial shortfall. Maulana went to the extent of selling his own personal vehicle that amount to fulfill this command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because of his burning desire to present himself in the Haramain Sharifain, to that extent Maulana went in fulfilling the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So in all of these, there are great, great lessons. And it's undoubtedly, when one leads a life like this and one conducts himself in such a manner, then Allah Ta'ala will bless a person with a death like Maulana was blessed with. Our Honorable Maulana Qasim Sema Rahmatullah Alayhi was very often heard in the member of Newcastle saying that today everybody wants to pass away in Salah, but nobody wants to read Salah. Everybody wants to pass away in the state of Roza, but nobody wants to keep Roza. Everybody wants a death in Medina Munawwara and Makkah Mukarrama, but we're not making an effort to go there. To be blessed with an envious death like Maulana was on the day of Jumu'ah, at the Mubarak time of Jumu'ah, then by living a life like this and implementing these qualities in our lives, Maulana was extremely particular about Salah. Especially when it came to holiday time, during the week, when it was weekdays, Maulana could monitor it himself because he was in the masjid doing imamat at that time. But in the holidays, we had a sheet, and I can't remember exactly what it was, but like Maulana said, if you were disrespectful to the Quran, you had to give out some charity. There was a certain punishment that was put into place over and above the time which he had allocated for us to perform our qada salah. So when we returned from the holiday on Saturday class, there was time allocated for whatever salah we had missed. Maulana would ensure that the qada was made in front of him. Allah, he would say, I want to see you make qada, because I don't want to see you burn in Jahannam for this. I rather see you make the qada than see you tomorrow burning in the fire of Jahannam for not reading your salah. To such an extent, he seemed to the well-being of his students, to the well-being of the musallis, and the well-being of the community.
Maulana, jazakallah so much for your time. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward you abundantly.
Jazakumullahu khairan.
Jazakumullahu khairan, Maulana. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Wa rahmatullah.
I have messages coming in. I would just like to go through them. My name is Hafiz Naeem from Clip River. Maulana Ibrahim and I have been friends for over 20 years. He came to see me in the week before he passed away. Amongst all the things that everyone has mentioned, three things on that particular day stuck with me. When he ate something, after he had eaten, he would carry on picking at every crumb on the table or the dastarkhan until he can't see anything. And it is something he taught my kids. When Maulana referred to anything that was done, he would say, "Mashallah, Allah made me do it." And he would never say, "I did it." At the last moment that he left me, his last words were that I should always try and read Surah Baqarah every day because it will help you in everything. A friend of mine, Brother Bashir Kalauria, says, "Maulana, I cry and I'm really going to miss Maulana Ibrahim." Assalamu alaikum. Maulana was not only a Hibz Ustad and a friend. He was a very active member of the Eden Park Masjid and the running of the madrasa. He was involved in business on a part-time basis. As far as his dealings were concerned, he used to give detailed accounts, example, screws, pieces of steel, bricks, etc. And he used to say, "Check the account and then you can sort me out." That comes from Brother Abdullah. Another person says, "Assalamu alaikum. I did not have much interaction with Maulana as I wasn't his student or very close. But every time I seen him and greeted him, it made me extremely happy. Like Maulana just mentioned about Maulana reading for headaches, I had seen in a dream Maulana reading for me. The next day in the masjid, I had a very bad headache and Maulana seen me. He asked me to stay after Salah so he could read for me. It happened exactly like my dream. I feel the loss as a brother. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant him the highest stages in Jannatul Firdaus. Ameen." The next message, on the point of neatness in madrasa, before Asr Salah, Maulana would remove his socks, fold it in three folds, the right sock in the right pocket, the left sock in the left pocket. With regards to Itar, Maulana would give each child in class a piece of tissue, which he would keep in his pocket, as even his tissues had the smell of Itar. Maulana was like a mentor and a friend to every niece or nephew of his, always made each person feel important, no matter the age. This is from Zakaria Patel, Maulana's nephew. He says, "I even spent time with Maulana in Stanger with Maulana Zulfiqar, an amazing weekend because of how Maulana Saab had treated us." I have two more messages and then I have something special I would like to play for the listeners. One is, Maulana had an exceptional relationship with his neighbors who were all non-Muslim. Whenever he cut his lawn, he would also cut the neighbor's lawn, subhanallah. Whenever he cut his lawn, he would always cut the neighbor's lawn. If he was taking his dirt for dumping, he would offer to take theirs as well. Even the neighbors are having difficulty in dealing with Maulana's death. We knew Maulana for a short while. Maulana's warm, humor, simplicity and sincerity won over our hearts. As the ulama speak of Maulana's beautiful qualities, we see it evident in his children. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it easy for them. Ameen ya Rabbal Alameen. The last message I would like to read, and then I would like to play you something. White turban, zulfa, eyes with surma, and kurta pockets overflowing with anything and everything, from a measuring tape to a sweet. This was Maulana Ibrahim, lovingly known as Chota. He was not just an uncle, but a confidant, therapist, friend, and a handyman. He had the ability of making each one of his many nieces and nephews feel that they were his favorite. Another one of his unique qualities he was renowned for in our family, and he will be sorely missed, was when he was leaving my family function, whether his house, any family function, whether his house or not, he would come till the car, but as a personal salam, not letting us leave without giving something from his pocket, and that too in inverted commas pocket. Our uncle bid us farewell, his final salam, on Friday the 29th of January, just before Jummah Salah. We make dua that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant him the highest stages in Jannatul Firdaus, inshallah, and unite us all in Jannatul Firdaus. A request for special duas for Maulana Marhum's wife and Maulana's kids. I want to just read you, there's another message that's coming in. Maulana was the best ustad we could have asked for. What he instilled in us was Friday khatams, Salatul Tasbih and Durood. We will carry this on for life and hope it will continue. We will miss Maulana. May Allah give him Jannatul Firdaus. Ameen. A student from the Sufa Madrasa. I'm going to ask my engineer, Brother Zaid, that if he could please play the clip that I sent to him. This is a clip that I would like us to listen. And in conclusion, inshallah, I would like to give my thoughts and my interactions on Morana. Brother Ziyad, please do play us the clip. That this world has bid farewell to, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward Morana abundantly. When I was the Imam in Reikha Park, we had a program, the only program that we had of its kind in the last probably 15 years of the area, was we had a program on New Year's Eve to then give the youngsters some sort of a different option instead of doing celebrations and instead of being there and doing all the wrong, to just sit down and to have something good to do, so that at least they, when they go there, they would realize and appreciate the fact that they are in the masjid at the time when people were celebrating. And at that time that it happened, what we found was that Morana came and Morana lectured that night. It was on the 31st of January, and Morana lectured, and Morana then spoke about the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, right in the time where people were disobeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Maulana spoke with the utmost amount of confidence and love and understanding about the greatness and the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that each one of us can attest to with regards to the love that Maulana had possessed for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And whenever I had seen Maulana, whenever I had interacted with Maulana, it was though Maulana knew me for years and years, although I was his junior by many, many generations, it was such that we all, at some point or the other, had understood and realized this man was a special person, always willing to go out of his way to help people that were in need, to help people that required assistance. Mani Junaid Saab didn't tell us, but while in conversation with him, he would say, whenever I needed anything fixed, Mama would just go, and without me even realizing it, he would fix it. So I lost an ustad, I lost a handyman, I lost somebody that I could trust, I lost somebody that looked up to me, and I lost somebody that had my interest in the madrasa. And this was Morana's life in general. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it such that may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it easy for Morana's children. May he make it such that they have the strength to endure this difficulty. Really, it's not an easy thing that they are going through. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it such. Let Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it easy for Morana's family, Morana's brothers, Morana's wife, and all the family that Morana had. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant Morana the highest of stages in Jannatul Firdaus, passing away on a Friday at the time of Jumu'ah. Being buried on a Friday is something you and I cannot even begin to imagine, the greatness and the virtue of somebody like that. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept it. Ameen, ameen. We have two quick announcements next week, inshallah. I need and I owe this to Maulana Tikli, rahmatullahi alayhi, to discuss his life as well, just because obviously Maulana had also passed away on the Saturday, but unfortunately we made some arrangements a bit earlier. So next week, inshallah, we discuss Maulana Ahmadi Saab, Rahmatullahi Alayhi of Durban. His son Maulana Qasim Ahmadi, the Imam of Masjid al-Nur in Benoni, will be coming. And then the following week, we have Maulana Masihullah Khan Saab, Rahmatullahi Alayhi. We'll be speaking about his life, and we'll be discussing about the life of Hazrat Maulana Masihullah Khan Saab, Rahmatullahi Alayhi. The week after that, inshallah, I will make the arrangements to the best of the ability to be able to profile one of our senior ulama, Maulana Tikli Saab, Rahmatullahi Alayhi, that passed away on Saturday. And inshallah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant each one of them Jannatul Firdaus. Ameen. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.